Praise God. What an awesome time of praise. That was the genuine. He got the genuine this morning. He loves that. He loves us and he loves it when we worship and praise him like that. And actually, to be honest, that kind of sums up the word. What we just gave to him, the real thing, is what I want to talk about this morning, what I believe the Lord wants to say to us this morning. It's all about praise. And so we're going to launch in with 1 John. We know this verse well, most of us really, really well, but hear it for the first time, like you're hearing it for the first time this morning. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Just raise your hand if you're born of God this morning. Oh, come on. Nearly all of us. And if you're not, you really need to be. Whatever it is you need to overcome, whatever your it is, you are well able. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you are well able. Well able. Okay. Now, I'm going to bring an image, not just yet, but we're going to use our God-given imaginations this morning. Now, I mean, this is just an utter sadness, but some people believe they're cats, other people believe they're dogs, some people believe they're unicorns. It would be funny if it wasn't true, but they actually do. What a devaluing of human life. But anyway, that said, we're going to use our holy imaginations this morning to imagine a holy thing. What I'm going to show you in a minute through a slide is so that you can hopefully grasp something of a spiritual reality. Okay, so I want you to imagine you're a hot air balloon. Yes, glorious in all its colors. So you're free. Guy ropes have been released, free from any heavy weights, lifted high, up and over, buoyant, just riding on the heights. That's our ability in God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, that was so worth it. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. However, too often we're a little bit like this. Next picture. It's sad, isn't it? You know, designed to fly, and there it is, deflated, on the ground. Anybody feel like that at times? Let's be honest, too often. Just deflated, like you've had all the air knocked out of you, or most of the air knocked out of you. God gives us his ability to rise up again. You might have come down, but he gives us his ability. Look, think of it. You've inherited his ability to rise up, yes, up and over. Again, it's your spiritual DNA. Yes. It's your hereditary ability to rise up and go again. Faith, I know you know this, and we're going to get into the praise part, but faith is the raising agent. Okay, Hebrews calls it a substance. We're going to look, there you go. Now, faith is the substance of things we hope for. We all hope for things, but it's the faith that brings you into reality, into this realm. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is identifiable. Okay, it's a tangible thing. The spirit of faith was strong this morning through the praise and worship. We all felt that. In the spirit realm, God sees faith. It's tangible. He sees it. And the enemy sees faith as well, which is why he works so hard, the underminer, to say, you don't have faith. You don't believe. You can't believe. Anybody heard that one? Well, he's just a liar. He's been a liar from the start. And I'll prove that with the scripture. God actually says to you, if you're born again this morning, Romans 12, verse 3, God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. And if you know anything about God, he's generous. He doesn't give stingy measures. He's given you more than enough to overcome every single thing that you will ever need to in this world, in this life. But that faith needs to be released. We all have it. We can see it from the word of God right there. We all have a measure. It's our job, actually, to cause that measure to grow. But you've got enough. Even the original starter measure is enough to overcome the world. But it has to be released. Yes. We can sit in silence all day long, believing, in inverted commas, and it won't change a thing. It won't change your thoughts. It won't change your emotions. It won't change your battle. It has to be released. There are two ways. We're not going to go through both. Through acting, acts of faith, but also through speaking. I'm talking about the speaking part this morning. Faith through your voice, but specifically praise. Praise for God. If you praise a person for something they've done or whatever, what a lovely outfit you've got on this morning, it's a celebration of that person. Praise for God is a celebration of God. We have just celebrated the Lord this morning in a terrific way, in a way I know he was well pleased with. We're called to praise him. Part of our holy calling actually is to praise him, because stuff happens, as has happened this morning, when we do. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation. You're part of it. If you're born again, you're part of this chosen, picked out generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may what? Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called to proclaim his praises. But that praise has to be released. And as we release our praise, it releases faith. Something we can do with our voices, how amazing is that, can release the faith, that measure of faith on the inside. And the reason is so simple. It gets our eyes off ourselves, yes, off our problems, yes, onto him, yes, and all of his awesome ability. Yes. Now, we're going to read a psalm this morning. In Hebrew, the word psalm means book of praises. If you're short of a reason to praise, get to Psalms. There's some that dip down low. Woe is me. But they always come up. But my faith is in you, God. All this stuff is happening on the earth. I'm at a low point. Oh, but Jesus, I trust you. That's the praise. That's the praise part. So we're going to look at Psalm 150. It's short and brilliant. It's the last one in the book of praises. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in his mighty firmament. If you could just pause there. Verse 1. That's praise him inside, praise him outside. Okay, wherever you are, praise him on the inside of your house, your car, your work location, and praise him when you're out walking the dog or walking yourself. Next verse. So I'm just going to take a drink. You can read that. According to his excellent greatness. Please pause. Oh, I love that so much. For me, that's a key verse, because we're praising him for what he's done, for what he does, for what he will do, the acts of God, but we're also praising him according to his excellent greatness, according to who he is. We don't praise him according to our feelings. None of us wanted to get hotter this morning, but we praised him according to his excellent greatness, not according to how we feel. Okay, next verse, please. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I'd love a trumpet player. If anybody can play, please. Or would like to learn to play. It's such a royal instrument. Anyway, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. We're going to go through instruments here. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And in case you haven't got the message, praise the Lord. Now, you might not play an instrument, but we have our voice. Awesome song choices this morning. And that second one, I'm an instrument to praise you. Instruments, where's an instrument? Instruments, you can see them well. They're just objects. They're just lifeless objects. They can't praise him. They have no life, no ability in themselves. The praise comes from the inside the person playing. I'm going to show my age now, but we could have Phil Collins on the drums, right? As far as I'm aware, he's not saved. He might be able to play well and in a skillful way, but it wouldn't be praise. Sam praises God on those drums. It comes from the inside out. It's not the notes that praise him. It's not the beat that praise him. But the notes and the beat express the praise. Your voice, whether it's good or bad or not, you don't need a recording voice. He couldn't care less about that. It's not about your good timing or your good voice. But our voice is an instrument to give him praise. And I heard a testimony this week from a man called Phil Driscoll. He's a trumpet player. And PJ and I used to listen to him when we traveled on cassette tape. Because he's just an awesome musician. He played with secular artists before he was born again, people like Joe Cocker. And but he got born again and gave his gift to the one who gave it to him. And he's been using this ability to play the trumpet. It's just awesome. And he said he was really upset one day over some notes that he'd missed. And the Lord, I found it so moving, and the Lord said to him, "Son, I don't care about the notes you missed. I care about the notes that were played in my honor." Yes. He cares about the song that's given in his honor. And he also said, "I don't play to show how well I can play. I play to introduce him." It's a royal instrument, the trumpet. It's used in pageantry, it's used in royal occasions. In the Old Testament, when a new king was coronated, they used the trumpets. And one day there will be a final trumpet. We've been singing it this morning, and it will introduce the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every eye will see, every knee will bow. There will be a recognition from every person in this world. There is a God, and this is him. Down I go. Praise God, we've had the revelation now. Our eyes have seen and recognized. Although he's invisible, there is a God. And one day he will come back. But until then, I'm going to use my voice to praise him. I'm going to use my life to introduce him. Polite praise is a legal praise. Polite praise does not impress him. What I mean by that is passive. Half-hearted. It doesn't impress him. And frankly, it doesn't work. He is the best. He deserves the best. And I know in the main, I'm preaching to the converted, but let's not leave it till a Sunday morning. You will have a bad week like that. Praise and worship is for Monday morning, Monday lunchtime, all the way through, every single day of the week. We spend it on him. We spend it on you, Lord, because who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? Now, yesterday morning, the reason I used that hot air balloon, I actually saw it. I'd not seen a hot air balloon for years, several years. And I saw this hot air balloon and I thought, oh my gosh, that is just the most brilliant analogy of what I believe the Lord wants to say. PJ was walking in Wellington Park, saw it at the same time, the other side of Wellington, this thing. And I saw it go down, but then I heard the sound, that and then I saw the flame. My gosh, it was massive. It was like a bonfire in that basket, and I was like, whoa. And the thing went. I mean, okay, it didn't rock it up, but pretty immediately that thing started to rise. The burner, I Googled it, the burner heats the air that's already existing inside the balloon. The air expands and the thing rises. Let me put it to you that only hot praise is going to bring a rise on the inside. That the burner really is our choice to ignite, our choice to give him something that he's worthy of. And then in doing that, and if we use the word, we've got to use the word because frankly, there's no lift without the word. But if you'll use the word, the faith will come and the lift will come. We need to release some heat for Jesus, I've written down there. As we have, I kind of feel like, oh my goodness, we've done it. We've all done it, but we just need to, I believe the Lord is saying, pick this up again. Not just when you're in church, or not just when things are going well, because frankly, it's when things are nosediving and the balloon's coming down, we lift up our praises. He gives us that power to rise above things. We have to stir ourselves up with the truth, though. He's given you his spirit, but it's when you read the scriptures, it starts to stir you on the inside. It's the word and the spirit working together. Because you might feel deflated. You might feel, not only have you come down, you've come right down. If we could have that picture back again, and the you're pretty much out of any lift. We all feel like that at times. And you can think, well, I know I need to use my faith, but I don't have any faith at the moment. Frankly, you can start to praise him without faith, without any feeling. But if you will begin to use your voice, oh, the lift happens. You can start down like that. In fact, you need to. We must start when we're grounded, deflated, feeling fed up. It's the key. It's the absolute key. And I will tell you this morning, you can do it even through gritted teeth. Yesterday, I had an unfortunate incident, and I'm not going to go into too many details because, frankly, it's quite unpleasant. But my dog had an upset stomach, and you know where this is going. And I wasn't aware of this until I saw the result of his upset stomach. And I have hard flooring all throughout the downstairs of my house, but I did have a beautiful rug in the lounge. Well, where did he decide to go and help himself feel a bit better? But on my beautiful rug. Now, my blinds were closed because that's what you do in hot weather, so it was dark. Yes, yes, you know where this is going. It was dark. I walked in. PJ and San and Kaz will tell you, I don't have a strong sense of smell. Not really. Quite honestly, it's an advantage most of the time. I smelt it before I saw it. It was one of those. But sadly, you know how things happen so quick? I'd walked through the lounge to open the blinds to see, am I really going to find what my nose is telling me? And oh yes, there it was, but I'd walked all through it. In trainers. Yes, it was a low moment. And I knew I was bringing this message on praise. And it was like, I didn't even know where to begin. Do I just roll it up and take it to the tip and cut my losses? And I was like, Lord, but I really love this rug. I don't know if I've ever find another one. He's like, I really want to salvage this. So I got all the bits and pieces. I literally didn't know where to start. And I prayed two things. Lord, give me wisdom, give me patience. And I'm getting the cloths, and I'm getting the sprays, and I'm getting a bowl of hot water, gloves on, you know. Anyway, I just thought, I am going to start to praise. This is my Habakkuk moment, is what I thought to myself. We're just going to read this. PJ used it last weekend. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. This is grim. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And I literally prayed, Lord, this is bad, but you are good. I fix my eyes on you. I thank you. You rebuke the devourer for my sake. I thank you, Lord, you give me wisdom and patience and peace and joy. Frankly, Lord, I need all of the fruit of the Spirit for this job. But thank you, you're in me. Thank you, you are well able, and I will put my hands to the task at hand. Honestly, it lifted me. And there are moments, and it's just like everything's going wrong. It all looks awful. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. Despite the circumstances, despite what all my senses are telling me, ears, eyes, nose, the lift comes. But it's not fair, because sometimes there's nothing in your circumstances. The people and the things could be the ones causing you the bother. But we can always praise him for his mighty acts and his exceeding greatness, who he is and what he does. And it changes how we feel. It changes our soul. And my gosh, we need that. You can't frown and praise, I've discovered. You can't complain and praise at the same time. Our circumstances may not change at that point, but we change. We feel better on the inside. And oh my goodness, he wants our souls to prosper. I'm going to bring a verse you know so well, but I believe the Lord wants it brought at this point. So it's 3 John verse 2. Beloved, that's who you are to him. Precious, honored in his sight. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. He knows how we're made. He knows mankind, how we generally behave as human beings, but uniquely you, what makes you tick. He knows how you're made. And he knows that real prosperity starts on the inside. If you're prospering on the inside, you'll start to prosper on the outside. If you're laying hold of God's wisdom and his ability, you'll start to prosper in your relationships, in your decision making, in your finances even. Everything is a result of a prospering on the inside. And he so wants us to prosper on the inside. Do you know, your soul doesn't just make you sick, unhealthy. Your soul can make you tired. Have you ever noticed that? When you're discouraged, you just feel tired. Like you've had all the energy zapped out of you. You just feel very much like that deflated balloon. And you think you need a day off and you think you need a holiday. Well, do you know what? Maybe you do. But maybe, just maybe, what you need to do is sit with the Lord and let him, you know, like King David, he knew how to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. Just receive that spirit-given ability through the word that enables you to mount up again, strong in God. When his thoughts are in our heads, our emotions come to rest. When his thoughts are in our heads, we come to peace. We try and get it from so many outside things. Add to bag. Sam told me a joke the other day. What do you do when you're feeling down? Add to bag. Well, do you know what? That might give you a spark of joy and a temporary lift. But it's not going to be sustained. You go through your entire bank account like that. Jesus, you're the strength of our lives. You're the strength and power of your people. But it's his thoughts in our heads. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And you might look at that and say, great, but how do I keep my mind on him all day? I've got to look after the kids. I've got to do my job. There are things in life that demand my attention. I'm committed to give my attention to. Or let me put it to you like this. Has anybody here had something on their mind all day that they were really anxious about? Not only all day, but all night. They managed to do their job. You managed to do your job. You managed to do all the things of the day, and yet still somehow that anxiety or that worry was never far from your thoughts. We all know how to meditate. We just need to change the subject content. We need to change what we're meditating on. If we will keep our mind on him, literally set a reminder on your phone if you need to, of a scripture the Lord's given you. I use postcards. Keep it before your eyes. There's the promise. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. And when those thoughts then, God thoughts, come out of our mouths as a declaration of faith or a declaration of praise, it's a weapon. Yes. Praise is for God. Always. He is always worthy. But let me tell you, it's a very effective weapon against the enemy. We're going to look at Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. We know from Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. But what I believe the Lord is wanting to put his finger on and draw all of our attention to is the need to get the high praises of God in our mouths again. More. Monday, Tuesday, all day through the week. The high praises of God in our mouth. Paul and Silas in that prison cell, actually in the inner prison, feet in stocks, everything to complain about. What did they do? They lifted their voices at midnight and sang hymns of praise to their God. And there was a rumbling and a clattering. The Lord sent an earthquake. Their chains fell off, as did all the other prisoners. Praise did it. Jericho, I'm just going to be brief through these stories, but we know the story well. Six times they walked round in silence according to God's instruction. Seventh time he said, get the seven priests to blow seven ram's horns and then let the people shout their praises to me. They did it. What happened? Walls came down. 2 Chronicles 20, great multitude of the enemy gathering against God's people. They were on their knees. Jehoshaphat the king was on his face. What do we do? What do we do? The prophet said, don't worry, stand still. Don't worry, stand still. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord there, your God. The battle plan, send out the praises. And it actually says, you can read it later, in the morning they lifted their voices loud and high. Loud and high. Is it the volume? The Lord set ambushes, by the way. The enemy was totally annihilated. Is it the volume that brought the victory? No. Is it the faith behind the volume? Yes. But let me tell you, you need to find a time and a place where you can lift your voice to God. When the people have left the house, or if you need to and you simply can't wait for them to leave, get in your car and go for a drive and lift your voice. Go for a walk. I've been doing it silly o'clock with my dog, getting out early to walk him, and there are fields and literally nobody around. I've been lifting my voice and declaring his praises. It's all through the word. Sing, shout, lift your voice with songs of praise, thanks and praise. Is it to get something from us? No. It's always to get something to us. It's because of what happens on the inside of us and actually in our circumstances. Psalm 98, verse 4. I'm not going to go on too much longer, but I'm hopefully building something here. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Darlene had that smash hit based on this verse, and my gosh, it was wonderful. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing power and majesty, praise to our King. Mountains bow down, and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Creation responds. You might say to me, but Pierre, I'm not a shouty person. Well, honestly, I'm not a shouty person. I'm not. At times, it just makes me cough. However, I've realized I've got to get over that and lift my voice. Because if God says shout, we shout. We shout. Something is released in us if we will release a shout of praise to him. Psalm 47, rattling through. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He's the great King over all the earth. Verse 5. God has gone up with a what? Shout. The Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Now you might say to me, well, how does that work? We've just read verse 2. He's most high. If he's most high, glory to God in the highest. You can't get higher than God. His throne is the highest. His authority and power is the highest. That's God in heaven. God on earth, the Holy Spirit, very much responds to his people. He responds to what we do, how we live, what we believe. In the Old Testament, he responded from the outside. They would see change in their circumstances. In the New Testament, if you're a believer, where is he? Come on. We need to keep God inside-minded. The secret is this. Christ in you. Okay, so if you lift your voice, your human voice, your physical voice with a shout, with a song of praise, God in you ascends. There is an ascent of God in you, just like that hot air balloon, that thing, the burner. Okay, remember the burner. Your choice to ignite that burner, that flame will bring some heat, that passion for Jesus, that will bring a rise on the inside of you. We're quickly going to go to verses 6 and 7 of that psalm, because it's important. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to your King. It's personal. Sing praises. Verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Some people know it, a lot of people don't. One day they all will. Sing praises with understanding. Now, this bit is important because, frankly, your head needs a reason to pull something genuine out of your heart. Your head needs a reason. We need some understanding. Use his names, use verses of scripture. Basically, don't be silent. We can all do it. We can all be so in our own heads, just kind of everything internalized. Losers are silent. I said it last weekend. Winners shout. It doesn't matter what the sport is. Tennis, football, golf, sure, darts, snooker. Look, if there's a win, there's a shout. Praise always has been, always will be tied to winning. Yes. Now, you might be celebrating England right now. Brilliant. Come on, England. But we are called out of darkness to celebrate him, to declare his praises. Our God, our King, our Shepherd, our Healer, our Provider, our Strong Deliverer. You're my rock, my fortress, my Strong Deliverer, my God. In you I will trust. We use the scriptures, you see, because he's so worth it. It's always for God. Praise is always for him. So we keep our eyes on him. But if you will lift him up, he will lift you up. And praise will defeat the enemy. I'm going to ask you to stand. We were going to do this this song. It's called Praise. I've only just recently discovered, but I just thought it's just all maybe a bit much. Because we're all really hot, but I just want to read this one line out of it. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. Now, you might be feeling, well, there's no might about it. You will be feeling hot, quite limp letters, but I just want you to say one thing to the person next to you that you've got out of this message.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.